You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Turn to Luke, the first chapter. Luke, well, maybe the second chapter. Maybe I better turn there first and then let you know where we want to turn to. I have some Christmas thoughts I just want to share with you. First chapter, that's right. You say, do you have a point? Well, I hope so. I hope I have a couple of them. Usually I just have one, but that's okay. Some preachers preach, you don't even have a point. Luke 1, you know, what am I reminded of? What are you reminded of at Christmas? What does it mean to you? And it's more than the gifts. You know, we know that. It's more than the presents and the trees and, you know, and the singing and the carols and all that's wonderful. And I think we ought to celebrate. It's right that we do so. It's right that we rejoice and take time. That's what holidays are about, to reflect and to rejoice and celebrate and get away from everything and focus in on the things that matter. You know, Jesus brought us to where we are. It's been said here in Texas, you need to learn to dance with the one that brung you. Amen? And so we've been brought to this dance by Jesus, hallelujah, and he's the one we're dancing with. And so we ought to rejoice and ought to remember that. But sometimes we get wrapped up in everything and, you know, in all the Christmas cards. It's almost a stressful time because you write all those cards out and lo and behold, you get one in the mail and you forgot that guy. You know, you go, oh my God, I got to go write another one. And so it's about sending the cards out. It's about getting those Christmas cards, getting those pictures done, getting all the kids lined up. We were last Sunday taking pictures and, man, you get 9 grandchildren together, 8 grandsons. Those pictures, you have to take about 15, 20 shots, you know. Yeah, with 4 cameras. Just multiply that out because, you know, you got one going like this and other one going like this. And I mean, just to get the shot where they're all looking the right way, and it's a miracle. Hallelujah. We believe in miracles. Okay, found Luke 1? But it's more than all that, is what I'm saying. It's about Jesus. It's about our great salvation. Hallelujah. I mean, we hear about it all year long, but this time of the year, it's in our face. Praise God, we've got a Savior. And when we say Merry Christmas, it means something. Hallelujah. Here in the first chapter of Luke, of course, there's a visitation where the angel Gabriel visits Zacharias, John's father, and then he visits Mary. This is called the Great Annunciation this time of year. And it says, 26 verse, now in the sixth month of Elizabeth, the cousin of Mary's pregnancy. She was 6 months with child. In the 6 months, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And so here starts the annunciation of the angel speaking to Mary and showing up and giving her a visitation. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." I don't think that we could give any more honor to anyone in all the world than to pick out someone to give birth to Jesus and give Mary her due. Now, you know, I think sometimes we go too far with it. We almost worship her, and that's wrong. But of all the women in the world God could pick out, he picked out Mary. And so we owe her the most awesome respect and the awesome honor that we could give to a woman. Now, beyond that, she's just a woman. I understand that. And she didn't give birth to God. She gave birth to Jesus, who was already God before he was a man. Just a point of distinction, because we often say Mother Mary of God, but actually Mother wasn't the Mary of God. God was not born. God had always existed. God became a man. And that man we call Jesus Christ, but he was God before he was a man. And he never had a beginning as God, but he had a beginning as a man. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The Bible tells us in John 1:1, the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with him. Without him, the Word was not anything made that was made. In the 14th verse of that first chapter of John, it says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth." The law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So Jesus had a beginning, we know that, as a man, but he never had a beginning as God. This is one of the great mysteries. This is a God-man, something that had never been before. This was Emmanuel visiting us, and he became one of us. Wow, that's amazing. He actually knows everything about us because he became one of us. He's not the outside man looking at an ant farm playing with ants. There's a secular song that says he became a slug just like one of us. You know? But he did. He became one of us. And so he, in all points, the Bible says, in all aspects, in every detail, was tempted just like us, yet without sin. Woo, man, it's a powerful story. The Christmas story, praise God, where God became a man, where God visited us, where God came down. The point in time, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem us who were under the law. Woo, that we might receive the adoption of sons, that we might become the children of God. There was a point to Christmas. There was a method to the madness. There was a rhyme to the reason. He had a reason for Christmas. Has a reason. Christmas has a purpose. And we celebrate that. Hallelujah. Okay, I was just going to run through this real quick, but y'all taking up too much of my time here. 30th verse says, and the angel said to her, to Mary, do not be afraid. I love that. Angels always tell us not to fear. God doesn't want us to be afraid. We have nothing to fear. We can believe God. Amen. Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. You know, I might say that to you. Do not be afraid. You found favor with God. You have nothing to be afraid of. Did you know if forever and ever we'll look back to this day where God visited us, God showed his love to us in Jesus' birth, his life, his death, his burial, his resurrection. We have found favor with God. If Christmas means anything to me, it means that I am in good favor with God. And you know what? Don't need to be afraid. I don't need to be afraid about the economy. I don't need to be afraid about bad reports. I don't need to be afraid about the weather. I don't need to be afraid because I have favor with God. Amen. And every Christmas I'm reminded of that. See? Hallelujah. Merry Christmas. I don't have to be afraid. It's Christmas. Oh yeah. I got favor with God. What am I afraid of? What is it that I'm worried about? Staying up all night worried about this, worried about that, worried about the news. You know, if the news is that bad, turn it off. I love what Brother Osteen used to always say. He'd sit down with somebody who had a newspaper, and he'd punch him, pull his Bible out, and he says, you got the bad news, I got the good news. Amen. So he says this. Says, be not afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. There's a reason for no fear. We have no fear because we have favor. Favor is grace. That's what favor means. It means grace. So God's grace has been showed toward us, extended toward us. And God's grace is God's favor. His face has shined upon us. He loves us. He's for us. And behold, you will conceive in your womb, bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. I love that. The angels so named him. And of course, the angels got their name. God himself said that because the word Jesus means Joshua. It means Savior or Deliverer. And that's what he was. He was a Deliverer. I have trouble with that word. Some people, when they eat liver, they always want to be delivered. But come on, I'm trying to get you with me here, okay? I'm trying to connect. Can't talk about the Cowboys. We got to throw that out. I mean, that's okay. 32nd verse. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. We're still in that kingdom, 2,000 years later. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? Now this is the whole story of the virgin birth, a miracle. Christmas is a miracle. Christmas is about miracles. Christianity is a miracle truth. I don't want to say religion because Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is the truth. You can get some truths out of all religions. I mean, there's some truth in Buddhism. There's some truth in the Islamic faith. There's some truth in a lot of different religions if you want to know the truth about it, the Eastern religions. But the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, only in Christianity. I, as a Christian, do not have to disbelieve everything in every other religion. Are you with me? I believe a lot of things in a lot of other religions. There's a lot of good moral teaching in a lot of other religions. But the whole truth's only in Jesus. If I want the complete truth, I have to come to Christianity. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So he is the consummation of truth. He is the truth. Where the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word. I quoted that a while ago in John 1:1. That is the Greek word logos. We get the word logic from that. And so when he says, in the beginning was the logos, the Word, and the word logos was with God, and the Word was God, what he means by that, the word logos means the complete thought or the complete reasoning of God. So Jesus is the complete thought. He's not an incomplete thought. He's not a part of the truth. He's the whole truth. He isn't a way. He's the way. He's not a truth. He's the truth. He's not a life. He is the life. Amen? And so if you're looking for meaning, what's it all about, Alfie? Remember the song? They made a movie of it. If you're looking for true meaning and purpose, you must get to Jesus because he is the meaning. What is the meaning of life? It's not a what, it's a who. Jesus is the whole reasoning. He's the complete thought. He is the logic. He is the Word made flesh. So when I received Jesus, my life took on meaning. It took on purpose. Now I have some reasoning. Praise God, I have a reason to live. Amen. Because the whole purpose, the whole meaning, the complete thought of God is wrapped up in him. He is the express image of God's person. God, who at sundry times talked to us in the past by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us in his Son. I love that. He is the message. He didn't just bring it. He is it. So it says this, moving quickly. 34th verse. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be? Good question. Since I do not know a man. The angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative or cousin, has conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible. Well, what does Christmas mean? Well, it means nothing's impossible. What are you going through? I don't know what you're going through. You know, we all go through different things, and we have different challenges and battles and tests, but I know it's Christmas. And Christmas reminds me every year that nothing is impossible. Actually, that's an interesting word where it says nothing. That word is the Greek word rhema, which is spoken word. You ever heard that word, rhema? A rhema word? You'll hear a rhema word and so on. Well, what it means literally is nothing God says is impossible. Amen. Nothing spoken by God is impossible. So if you can find it in here, it can happen. And if you don't believe that, you don't know anything about Christmas. You're decorating, putting lights up, but you've missed the whole point. Nothing's impossible. That's what Christmas means, one of the things it means. That everything is possible with God. Anything he said can happen, and it will. He can take care of your situation. He can meet your need. He can fulfill your life. He can take away the pain and the loneliness if that's the case. He can take away the inferiority if that's the case. He can meet your need financially. He can meet your need physically. He can do the impossible. It's Christmas. This is what we're reminded of. An impossible situation. And God showed up and was born through a woman who had not known a man. The Virgin Mary. At that point she was a virgin. And says, nothing shall be impossible. Then Mary said, listen closely here, behold the maidservant or handmaiden of the Lord, let it be to me or be it unto me according to your word. You know, when I think about that, how do impossibilities become possible? Someone stands up and says, be it unto me according to your word. That's how it happens. How does the word become flesh and dwell among us? Someone says, be it unto me according to your word. There was a promise of a Messiah to come. There was a promise of a Savior to come. There was a promise of an impossible birth. And not only was it prophesied, you know, for several 4,000 years before this event took place, but the angel showed up to the woman that God had chosen and told her the story, and it was required of her to believe. And if she would believe, then this word would become flesh and would dwell among us, and we would behold his glory. Someone had to believe for you even to be saved. I heard it said like this: if Abraham would be the father of faith, Mary would have to be the mother of faith. That went over real big. I'll say it again. If Abraham was called the father of faith, and he was the father of faith because he believed, then Mary would have to be called the mother of faith. She really would. I mean, give her due and her respect and her honor here. She believed, and because of that, we have a Savior. Hallelujah. She stood there in an impossible situation and said, "Be it unto me according to your word." What are you facing? Well, there's a promise that concerns you. There's a promise that takes care of your situation. How does that promise become flesh and dwell among us and for you to handle it and behold its glory? Maybe it's a promise of health. Maybe it's a promise of wealth. Maybe it's a promise of peace. Maybe it's a promise, you know, of joy. I don't know what the case is. I don't know what you're going through. But I know if you want that promise to become flesh and dwell among you and you to handle it and behold its glory, you're going to have to stand there and say, "Be it unto me according to your word." That's how impossibilities become possibilities. Woo! I'm more excited than y'all are shouting. So when I think of Christmas, I think about impossibilities becoming possible. I think about God's great love. Here's the deeper meaning of all this. In fact, turn to me. Look at me. Right. Turn to Matthew, the first chapter. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? Amen. Man, I'll tell you, he loves us so much. I don't know why, but he really does. Sometimes I wonder, you know, why he cares, but he does care. Why he doesn't run out of patience, but he doesn't run out of patience. Why he's so merciful, but praise God, his mercy endures forever, the Bible says. Amen. He is such a good God, and he is such a, you know, he's such a friend, such a help in a time of trouble, and such a loving father. You know, he's just ready to wrap his arms around us, ready to take us in and get us on our feet again. And, you know, he's proud of us in a good way. We often think of God as the moral governor of the universe, just hitting us with a stick every time something goes wrong. Maybe the great policeman of the sky passing out tickets, pulling you over. But I don't see him that way. And I don't believe the Bible teaches that. The Bible tells us that God is looking out for our best interest, that God is trying to lead us in the right direction, out of the paths of evil, as it were. He's trying to make the best out of us that he can. There's a lot of rules, sure, but they're for our benefit. He's trying to help us. He's not about hitting us on the head when we do wrong. He's about steering us in the right direction and taking us to the next level. He really cares about us. In fact, when I think of a little baby, it's amazing how, you know, when we have little children begin to walk, and we put it in their book. I mean, they took three steps and fell flat on their face, and here it goes. It's in the book. The phone's ringing off the wall. Little Johnny's walking. And all he did, he, you know, he stumbled, and his knees locked, and so he took a couple of steps before he fell. He really didn't walk, but he walked. I mean, you don't call Mama up and say, Grandmama up and say, "Grandmama, he fell again." I'm telling you, that baby does nothing but stumble and fall. That's all that baby does. No, as soon as that baby stands up, holding on to the coffee, he's standing up. Get the baby book out. Let's write this down. What's the date? I mean, we're proud of any effort, aren't we? I mean, and that's the way God is. I mean, God loves us. I know we've messed up. I know we're working on this thing. I'm not condoning sin. We need to repent of sin. But I tell you, your efforts, your first step, your first try at this thing of believing God, living right, and loving people and forgiving, you know, he doesn't count all those times you've missed. He's looking at your efforts to try to make this happen. We got to flip this thing around in our thinking. God does not hate us. He's not against us. He's for us. Woo! He loves us. You say, "How do you know?" It's Christmas. Aren't you listening? It's Christmas. We should be reminded of this every year. How much God loves us. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. This is what we're celebrating here today, this time of year, and for us every day as a Christian. You ought to experience the love of God. Okay, you forgot to send somebody a birthday card. Okay, you didn't get the present you wanted. Okay, mama didn't cook a turkey and you had tamales for Christmas. No offense, Ray, I love tamales. Okay? Tell the truth, we have tamales for Christmas all the time. We had them for Thanksgiving, didn't we? Yeah. Okay, well anyway, you know, it's bigger than that is what I'm trying to say. Aren't you glad Christmas is bigger than tamales? Yeah. Nothing wrong with tamales, I love them. Okay. Notice this. Well, I love this verse. Matthew, first chapter. I love this. This is where, well, let's back it up and put it in context. 18th verse. That's not the one I want to get to, but I'm going to start there. Okay. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. I love that. Now, notice it never says the birth of God. I know it's a technical point, and a theological point, but I think it bears repeating, and we sure need to get it straight. Because sometimes we get our doctrine wrong. And you're not going to hell because you don't have your doctrine all straight. Are you kidding? Come on. I mean, there's people who believe all kinds of things. I believe most of you will probably go to heaven. Now, don't get mad. I believe you will, really. I do. No, I don't believe you're going to heaven because you got all your doctrines straight. You're going to heaven because you believe Jesus died for your sins. Now, beyond that, there's a lot of things we may disagree on, and that's what starts all the different denominations and all the churches, and I think it's just a tragedy. You know, I am pro-church. We're for churches that believe in Jesus. If they confess Jesus as Lord and Savior, whether Catholic, Methodist, Baptist, Lutheran, Episcopal, I mean, if you believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that He's washed you in His blood and your faith is in Him, you're going to heaven. Regardless of the intricacies of what you believe about communion, hello, or water baptism, or Christology, you know, whether what part of Jesus was God, and, you know, did he lose all of God when he became man? And, I mean, we get so hung up on all these little points, we strain a gnat and swallow a camel is what we do. I have certain convictions about those points. I believe certain things about the rapture of the church. But, you know, if you didn't believe in a rapture, you could still go to heaven when you die. Shock you. Okay. But I think it helps to get some of these things straight, but they're not matters of heresy. See, that's what happens within churches. The churches will start over silly things, you know, about the way we baptize, whether we say in Jesus' name or Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Well, you know, when we baptize, I just say, I baptize you now in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. This I do in the authority vested in Jesus' name. So that just covers it all. Makes everybody happy. And when anybody asks you, you could say, yes, I was baptized in Jesus' name. Well, were you baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Yep, I was baptized like that too. I really do. I do it that way on purpose. Because the Bible does say, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You go in the book of Acts, they baptize them in the name of the Lord Jesus. So, you know, what's right? Well, just do it all and be covered and go on with it. The water's not going to save you anyway. Sam Houston made that great quote, standing in the Brazos River. He said, if the water washed my sins away, I feel sorry for the fish downstream. Just a thought. Okay. But I believe in water baptism. I believe we ought to follow through with it. I believe it's a public profession. I believe it's what Jesus asked us to do. But our salvation comes from our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Now, I hope I didn't make anybody mad. I'm not trying to make you mad. It's Christmas. You've got to love me. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ, 18th verse, was as follows. It happened this way. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, in other words, she was, you know, they were engaged, as it were. Before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And we just read that account where the angel appeared to her and so on. But the angel didn't appear to Joseph. The angel appeared to Mary. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, took her out and had her stoned. What? Well, doesn't the law say that? You can stone a woman for that? Didn't it say that? I mean, that's what they were going to do in John 8. Of course, it's interesting. Jesus didn't stone the woman. Hello. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man. A just man. And not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. Can you imagine the pain he was going through? He hadn't had a visitation. The angel hadn't visited him. His wife comes up with child. He hasn't known her in any way, form or fashion. They hadn't been married yet. And the embarrassment of all this. And then, you know, he could have been mad. He could have been angry. He could have brought her up and had her stoned in front of anybody. But you know what? He knew that wasn't the right thing to do. He was going to put her away privately. I love this. This is the man that God picked to raise his son. Y'all see that? This was the man. What kind of man was it? A religious man? A hard man? A legalistic man? No. A man who had compassion. A man who had mercy. Isn't that good? I think that's so good. These are the parents that raised Jesus. The people God picked out. It's just an awesome story. Well, anyway, while he's thinking on this and thinking of ways to put her away private, not make a big deal of this, not embarrass her, and, you know, he's got to be hurt from this whole thing, but he's obviously not going to marry her, but he is going to make it where she's not going to suffer any kind of public humiliation here and, God forbid, be stoned. And it says, while he thought on these things, 20th verse, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, or Holy Spirit. And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. See, Gabriel said that to her in this visitation to Joseph in this dream. You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Whew. I love that verse. I'll tell you what Christmas is about. It's about saving us from our sins. Not just the penalty of them. I've told this one time before that God didn't just deliver us from hell, the penalty of our sins. He's actually come to save us from our sins. We can overcome them. We can get over them. We can break that habit. We can break that sin. Jesus came to save us from our sins. And really the deepest meaning, I guess, of Christmas is this. Of course, it's a time of miracles. It means that anything's possible. It means that you can make it and I can make it. If you'll believe God and trust God, the Word can change your life and change your situation. But even deeper than all that, it means that we have a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Merry Christmas. You know, when I say Merry Christmas and I think about Christmas, it means I'm not going to hell. It means I'm saved. It means my sins are forgiven. It means God loves me. He's for me. It's about the big gift, okay? The one that we got 2,000 years ago that's never been outdone, that never will be outdone, the gift of God's Son. It's about the gift of eternal life. It's about the gift of salvation. All through the Scripture, we see that Jesus came for this purpose and this intent. So when we think about that babe in a manger, you know, and I've got little nativity scenes out all around our house. We got a little banner up on the wall that says, Happy Birthday, Jesus. I love that. Chris Marshall says they've been for years at Christmas. They will sit down with all the kids, and they will sing Happy Birthday before they open up the presents. It is. It's about his birthday. You know, and so don't forget that. But it didn't just stop there. That's the start of something. That was the start of your salvation. That was the start of your redemption. That was the start of you living forever. Man, your future's so bright you've got to wear shades now. Amen. We're going to live forever. Our sins are forgiven. Amen. I ain't always been the best person in the world. A lot of things I wish I could undo. A lot of things I wish I hadn't have done. A lot of things I'm not proud of. I know a lot of people talk about their past and their testimony and laugh and kid around about it. But really, most of my past, and I think before I accepted Jesus, I'm just really ashamed of the things that I did and the hurts that I caused. I'm not proud of it, and it's not really laughable. I mean, we might laugh about something stupid we did, or you know, but really the bottom line is we're just a world of hurt and pain and just lost and hurting other people. And Jesus came along and saved us. Man, you know, I remember Christmases before I got saved, but I never knew what it was about. I didn't have my first Christmas till I was 19 years old. That's when I had my first Christmas, because that's when I received the gift. That's when I finally went out there like the shepherds to see what this thing was about. That's when I finally went and kneeled down, and I accepted the gift. A lot of people heard about it, but they never went and checked it out. Thank God the shepherds went. They said, let's go see this thing that has been told us. Thank God the wise men came. They saw a star. They went to find out what it was all about. Well, when you find out what it's all about, and when you seek Him with all your heart, you'll find out that Christmas is about your salvation. It's about God's great love for you. Amen? Okay, let me read this, and I'll close that one more verse. 21st verse says, "And she will bring forth a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Turn over to Luke 2. Y'all remember Charlie Brown Christmas? Is it Linus holding that blanket telling a Christmas story? Is that the way it goes? Isn't that the way it goes? He's quoting Luke. Man, that's when they could do that, you know. Quote the Bible, quote Scripture. Luke, the second chapter. This is where the shepherds, you know, were keeping their flock by night. And, of course, it says they were born, you know, in a manger. And I won't get into all that. In the ninth verse, it says, "Behold," Luke 2, verse 9, "and behold, the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of..." Can you see Linus holding that blanket right now? "And the angel of the Lord." The angel of the Lord stood before them, these shepherds, lowly shepherds, keeping their flocks by night. Aren't you glad the Bible so covers all the bases? You know, if you read Matthew, you'll find out about the wise men with all that money, the gold, frankincense, and myrrh that came to his house when he's probably about 2 years old, knelt down before him, gave him all those goods. And I'm telling you what, he is the Lord of these high kings or high wise men or whatever they were, very rich men. But here in Luke, it's just shepherds, just lowly shepherds out keeping their sheep. Jesus is Lord of the high and he's Lord of the low. He's Lord of the rich and he's Lord of the poor. He's Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. We've got a whole gospel that starts out here talking about the lowly shepherds that were there at his birth, and then another one talking about the very rich and wise that showed up. Isn't that good? Okay, so it says here, the eighth verse, start there, back up one more verse. "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night, and behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Be not afraid,'" because that's what they always say, amen, "'for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with an angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace and goodwill toward men.'" There's a pattern there too, if you think about it. If you give glory to God, you'll have peace on earth. But if you don't glorify God, you're not going to have peace on earth. Right. Amen? There's a protocol. There's a way. There's a pattern. There's a reason. For you want peace? Give glory to God. Glorify Him in the highest, and He'll give you peace on this earth. But the verse, the 14th verse, or the 11th verse is the one I want to close out with. And I really am closing. This is my final closing. Let's read it again. "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." You know what Christmas means? It means we have a Savior. Amen. It means that we have been saved from our sins. So when we say Merry Christmas, that's what we're saying. Merry Christmas. You got a Savior. You got a Deliverer. You've been saved from your sins. Now we're going to give a lot of gifts this year. We're going to eat a lot of turkey probably, a lot of ham, maybe some tamales. That's okay. Just kind of watch it work out a little bit more, you know, when it's all over. But let's never forget what this is all about. Let's never forget why we're celebrating. Let's never forget why we take time and take off work and spend all the time decorating and cooking and celebrating. We ought to celebrate. We ought to give gifts. It's a wonderful thing to do. The reason is, praise God, our sins are forgiven. I've been saved. You've been saved. We're going to heaven. Hallelujah. Amen. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.